Welcome to Mavens Talk, the podcast where we spotlight the brilliant women driving change in San Antonio's nonprofit world. I'm Carrie Dyer, co-host of the podcast. Each episode, we dive into real conversations about leadership, purpose, challenges, and triumphs, because behind every powerful mission is a woman with a story worth telling. This is Mavens Talk, where women lead and stories inspire. And now, meet my co-host, the one and only Paige, an entrepreneurial Swiss Army knife with a heart for the community and a mind for strategy. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you for that intro, my friend, who is one of the best problem solvers I know. I had to get a little plug in for you. Sorry. Okay. So today on Maven Talks, we're honored to welcome a true change maker in San Antonio, Councilwoman Sook Carr. She was elected in June of 2023 and is the first South Asian member of the San Antonio City Council, representing the vibrant and diverse District 1. A proud Sikh American, she brings a multifaceted background to public service. She's an educator, realtor, yoga teacher, a dog mom, and the founder and CEO of Ed Reimagined, an organization focused on rethinking and improving education systems. She also served as the Dean of Instruction at the Mickey Leland College Preparatory Academy in Houston ISD. On the council, Sook's priorities include minimizing infrastructure disruptions, improving public safety, and championing small businesses, work that directly intersects with the interests of many in our nonprofit and civic community. She brings a thoughtful, grounded approach to leadership and community building, and we're excited to talk with her today about how organizations can build strong relationships with their local elected officials, advocate effectively, and stay engaged in the process of change. Carrie, take it away.
All right. So thanks for being here. Okay. We're going to start with like a little bit of a softball because we're nosy people, but how did you start out your day? How does someone like with that kind of background, what's your morning routine?
Okay, I love this. So I am not a morning person. If you've received an email from me at midnight or 1 a.m., that's more likely than ever getting a call from me at 8 a.m. Some people who have called me too early have seen the not bright, happy side of Sook. But that being said, my morning is generally very chill. I just try to get up, get ready. I'm a very quick getting up, get ready in the morning person. So I'm in and out and rushing to where I'm ever going. My evenings are spent more with, I teach yoga on the side, so I love doing yoga and breath work. And I also love getting my workouts in during the day too. So not too big on a morning routine, but usually just getting up and forcing my dog, who also hates morning, to get out of bed so that we can get our day started.
That actually makes a ton of sense though, because I feel like most of civic engagements are in the evenings, and I feel like you probably have probably an engagement every night of the week, if you know, at least three nights a week. So I feel like
oh, for sure,
you almost have to stack your day towards the end of the day. So that totally
for sure. I generally have something, at least one thing a night. And sometimes I have like two or three events. So like tomorrow or today after my day doesn't end till 7. Tomorrow I have three events back to back in the evenings after hours. And it's just neighborhood meetings, meetings with community partners, events, and then obviously Saturdays too. Sundays are generally pretty light, so I get to do my R&R on Sundays.
Nice. I like that. Okay. So diving in a little bit deeper, you have such a rich experience kind of with all your various roles between educator, nonprofit, founder, I mean, really yoga teacher, as you've already said. So how do those kind of different identities shape how you lead and you serve on city council?
Yeah, I love that question. So I think my background really gives me an interesting perspective into the community that we're serving. So our whole goal as a city council person is that we're the closest elected to our residents. So really understanding the day in and day outs of their life and experiencing what they are, what that looks like is so important. So with my background in education, I really have been able to see what communities face and what families face on a day-to-day basis, getting their kids to school, finding the best choice choice school for them, because that's a big opportunity now for families in our community, what their day-to-day commute looks like, how our infrastructure challenges affect getting kids to school on time, and when kids are late, what that means for their education. So all of that is super intertwined. In addition, my background in real estate and understanding like what the market looks like helps me understand what people are facing when they're trying to find a place to live. We know how important housing is. Like, housing is a bare necessity for every single individual. And having experienced and seen and working with folks at all different levels that are exploring housing, whether it be multifamily or purchasing for the first time, it's enlightening to see what that experience looks like, and having that perspective really helps us when we're shaping policy. And then at the end of the day, I always say, like, my yoga experience is what grounds me. I'm like, this work is tough. People will be in your face and upset because they feel like you're not helping them or not doing enough. And we get a lot of constituents that want progress quickly, which they deserve, but sometimes it just doesn't happen all that way. And we are limited in funding, which has always been really challenging. And so sometimes we don't have the funding to address someone's sidewalk, but being able to have a little bit of moment of like breath work and releasing tension and allowing folks to knowing how to de-escalate and working in that way with constituents has been helpful too.
And I am in, you know, I am District 1, as you know, and I have seen you. You hit the pavement, your campaigns, your block walking. You have so much face-to-face time with your constituents. I've seen you from event to event.
I appreciate that. I was at Postino's this weekend, and I saw a constituent sitting at the table right behind me, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're a councilwoman." I was like, "Yes." And she's like, I was like, "I'm sorry, I can't," you know, I meet a lot of people. I was like, "I'm sorry, I don't quite remember you." She's like, "You came into my door. You knocked on my door. I voted for you."
Awesome.
So super exciting.
It's important. That's such a big thing. Good for you.
Thanks.
Well, that kind of brings me to my next question, because you talked a lot about how you're in the community, and with your various jobs, you really have kind of your pulse on what's going on with your constituents. So many of our listeners work in the nonprofit world, and this is where I think it's really interesting where the civic work and community nonprofits kind of intersect so much, and how they can help each other solve problems. So what do you feel like is the best way for people that are working in nonprofits to build meaningful working relationships with their council members? Not just kind of during budget season, but, you know, year round.
Yeah. So I think there's several things that you can do as a nonprofit leader. I think first and foremost, reach out to our office and make sure we know what services you offer, because we get calls all the time from constituents looking for support. And it's so helpful to know what people are doing, what they can provide, and how folks can get engaged. And so even just sharing flyers, like we have an entire table, like first line of defense, you walk into our office, there's an entire table of flyers and collateral that you can pick up from organizations around the city. So our goal actually in our office, we've created, because I'm so passionate about connecting with nonprofits, is building a database of all of the nonprofits in our community, their points of contact, who they serve, and what they can offer. Because we want to be able to refer to that anytime someone calls us and says, "Hey, we have a family that needs a little bit of, that needs some clothing for a kid." We know exactly which organization, SA Threads, where they can go and go shopping for clothing in basically a free way. And so we want to make sure we have that connection with our residents or with our nonprofits in our communities. In addition, I want to go visit. Like, I love seeing where folks work and being a part of the community. And I think one of the best ways to do that is partner with us. So, you know, Paige just mentioned, I will go to events after events after events if it means I can be with folks in our community. And nonprofits do put on a lot of events, and they work, you know, whether it's a open house or back to school event, whatever it is coming up, I want to be engaged. So share with us if there's an opportunity for us to partner together. We have a city council. I know you said aside from budget, but city council also has a little bit of funding. It's called CCPF, which stands for City Council Project Funds. And we can use it to fund nonprofits in our community. So we can help sponsor. This is our favorite one to do. If you need a stage, we have a mobile stage at the city that we can help sponsor for an event, which is really fun. And so there's a few ways that we we can help specifically, and we love partnering with our nonprofits. So introduce yourself, invite us to things, and let's work together.
Wow, who would know? But what a great, like, what a great rental to get for free. Like, that's amazing. But yeah, ask, reach out. That's super important. You'll find out things you never knew.
I think that's huge. Okay, so you've made small business support and infrastructure a priority of yours. And how do you see the role of local nonprofits in those conversations, especially when it comes to like equitable development? Do you feel like they are at the table, or how do you kind of like work with those relationships?
So I think there's two things. One, I think it's super important. We'll start with infrastructure support, right? So I think it's really important if you're creating a nonprofit, especially when you're looking at your facility space, to reach out to us with requests that you have. Because if, particularly if you're centered around youth and kids are going to be walking or they're going to be using the area around, we want to make sure you have what is necessary. So we went out and visited the Children's Bereavement Center, which is in District 1, and one of our, you know, everyone loves the work that they're doing, and it's so important, particularly right now. And they had some street lights in their parking lot that were out, which was making it difficult when, you know, just a sense of safety, street lights increase the feeling of safety for everyone. And so we were able to help them get those placed in a quick way. So if things that you need for your facility space that are related to City CPSAW's work would be helpful for you, reach out. We will be more than like, we will get what we need to do to get those done more efficiently, because we know the impact that it could create. And secondly, we want to make sure that from a development standpoint, right, one of the things that we've been really looking at is how do we get nonprofits at the table to be able to do things in a more, to your point, an equitable way. So one of the ways that we've actually created, and I know I've talked about housing a bunch, but it's called community land trust. So if you're a nonprofit that works with a specific group and you want to be able to create housing for the folks that you are serving, or even just the community in general, you're able to do so. And essentially the model is that the land is donated to the community land trust or purchased at a low rate. And then the homeowner gets to buy that, just the house on top. So they're not paying for land appreciation. And so it's a really cool model that we want to get nonprofits involved in, because it's a great way to serve your community. And so that's one example of ways that we're trying to bring development to our nonprofits. But in general, thinking about what is the community around you and how can the city support help you in supporting and just help the work that you're doing and help it make it thrive, is anything that we can do to help, we are always willing to.
Yeah, it sounds like a big kind of underlying thread here. Like a 3-point is like ask, like make yourself available, you know, like don't just think about what you're not getting, but if you have something that the city council can work with, you might not get exactly what you need, but they can maybe provide resources for you, or they might even have something like a stage. So asking seems like a big, and getting to know your city council member, which kind of leads me to the next thing, you know, advocacy, which I'm sure you've probably done a ton of in your line of work, can be super intimidating, especially for smaller organizations. Do you have any advice for nonprofit leaders who want to advocate effectively and getting involved in, you know, government affairs and all that, you know, if they can't afford a whole government affairs team, like how would you approach telling them to get into advocacy?
I would say partnering with other nonprofits. This is one of our big push right now. Particularly in our community, we have so many organizations doing really great work. And I'd love to see a world in which we start combining forces more. How can we think creatively about the missions that we have and which missions align, and whether that means full-on consolidation of orgs or not, we can still think more effectively about how we partner to push an area forward. And I'd love to see that happen even more, where there's like a group of, you know, if you want to visit with your council person, you want to be really effective, punch it out, and you're doing animal care support work, work with a few other nonprofits that are doing that same work. And then together you would have even more leverage to come and sit down and share what you really need or what your story is. And so I think partnering with other organizations is really important. And also thinking about like how you can share your story in the most effective way, because every industry in the nonprofit world is a little bit different, right? So think about who your advocate is. Like if you're a youth-facing organization, you should definitely be reaching out to me because everyone knows that I'm the kid. Like, I love doing work with youth, right? So think about who your advocate is on the dais, or like previously, Councilwoman Adriana Rocha Garcia and Councilwoman Sandoval were really big on healthcare. So think about what the individual is really focused on and try to get them to be your advocate, because if you can get one person on board, they can help really spearhead something for the entire council when we if there was an issue that needed to really, be put forth.
That's amazing. Okay, so this is a little bit more of a personal question, but you're the first South Asian member of the San Antonio City Council, which is obviously very historic and a powerful, statement. How does your cultural identity influence your approach to public service and civic engagement?
Yeah. That's a great question. I always have just believed that like representation really matters. And I believed it for me because I've loved seeing folks that look like me, and even just women and women of color in general, progress through ranks and see how they've been able to lead. And it has been so inspirational for me. And so knowing that like a future in the future that someone would be able to see me and be like, oh, I can be that too, really is inspiring for me to continue to do my work. It's like motivating for me to continue to work really hard and make sure that the impact that I have is important and is changing the lives of our residents. Because if I'm just a face, if I'm just elected and don't actually accomplish anything, then it won't be leaving a positive legacy for our community. But even just last week, I got to be a panelist at the Texas Housing Conference, and I was on a panel with a council member from Fort Worth, a council member from Corpus Christi, and the mayor of Brownsville. And it was a fascinating pa panel on housing and seeing how many similarities that a lot of our cities in Texas have with housing challenges. But I had a young South Asian, not that young, she was a college student who was in the crowd, and she was currently working as an intern in the House, the State House. And she came up to me after the panel and just said, like, thank you so much. I'm so excited to see someone that looks like me as an elected, and like asked me how I got into this role, and said it meant a lot for her to be able to see me on that panel and be able to speak about the work that we're doing. And that was just made me feel like I'm getting the chills saying it, because it made me feel so good that I was able to actually fulfill one of my goals is, which is showing that representation matters. And I also truly believe that when we have a representative council of our city, which I do think we do right now, it helps us create better policy, because there are groups that are not being left out, right? There's a lot of stuff that has happened at the state this last legislative session where sometimes it feels like some voices aren't being heard. And so, even just things when I can bring invocators. So every council session, a session, we get to bring an invocator. And I always get to bring an invocator, someone who's like leads the session for that morning. And I always try to bring someone that represents a different religion or a different background to council, so that we can all experience and all feel heard in the event that you don't, you're from a different faith. And so just even in ways like that, trying to bring more diversity and representation is something I've always tried to do.
I love that. And I mean, besides your cultural identity, that you're a strong, well-rounded woman, and you are, I feel like you aren't afraid, that you're just a brave woman. And, for my 4-year-old to get to see you out there doing the work is special too. And that gives me chills.
Thanks, Paige. That's so
I'm
good.
curious. You talked about like it was important for you as a little girl to have that representation. Like, was there somebody for you out there, or like, do you feel like, I mean, obviously you're the first in San Antonio, but who do you feel like was the sook for sook, if you'll humor me in that?
There was two women that I thought that were like, obviously one of them was Michelle Obama. Watching her and hearing her books has always been super inspiring to me in the way that which she leads. She has like, it's funny when you do audiobooks now, you can hear their voice as
Oh my
they're reading the
gosh.
book, and it makes you feel like you know the person. Like, oh
Yes.
yeah, like I'm having a conversation with her.
Start referring it to it. Like my friend was telling me the other day about a really important
So
habit.
Michelle was telling me this story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've listened to both of her books, and I've always loved the way in which she led and the work that she did while she was first lady and even before that. And so watching her and in her leadership has meant a lot, showed me a lot of like how you can lead from whichever seat you're from. And I really believe that, like, you don't, particularly now with our council, like, you don't have to be mayor to be able to be a leader on this council. And I think that's something that I'm really trying to emulate. And then from my background in education, I always really looked up to Michelle Rhee. So Michelle Rhee, who was the DC chancellor at one point and now is running her own organization, did a lot of work in education that was really controversial. And a lot of folks didn't necessarily think it was the right move, but she was willing to be bold. And regardless of what you thought, she was not willing, like making sure that the status quo wasn't okay and that we really needed to push education forward. So I always really liked, admired that. So things that I've always tried to do is like bold leadership, not being afraid to take the hard vote, even if it means that, like, it's tough for the community, like the transit-oriented development framework that we passed last summer that was really tough, grounded around the Green Line. Whatever it is that we need to do that's best for the community is what we need to do, because it's what our job is as representatives, is making sure that the next generation has a better opportunity than we did.
That's huge and so important. I
Love
really
it.
appreciate you saying that. All right, you're clearly very grounded, and obviously through yoga, it all goes down back to yoga.
Right?
Intentional approach
Namaste.
to leadership, but the reality is you are in like a very fast-paced political environment, and you have a lot going on. This, and I can't even imagine how you keep it, but all straight in your head. But how do you stay rooted in your values and your community connections? Like, is there something that you go back to? What are those, and how do you stay rooted in them?
Yeah, I think going back to, again, being present in the community and making sure you're seeing the people that you are building policy for. I feel like once you kind of feel that removed, and it's interesting because the higher you get in elected office, the less that likely you are to see and be engaged with the day-to-day happenings of your community and your district. But I literally live, breathe, sleep, do everything in my district for the most part. Like, I had a meeting today outside, like a little bit north of 410, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I never come out here. And just being super grounded in what's going on, right? So every time I even on my Sunday, like, I was able to I'm gonna just share my Sunday because I loved it so much that I'm like, I love spending
Help.
time with family and the people that I love. So I have three very littles that I call that are really close to me, and my nieces and nephews. I got to go to the driving range with one of them at San Pedro, which is in the heart of District One. I went to an early dinner with another one at Chris Madrid's, and then I
Nice.
went to the movies at Santikos, another one, to watch Superman at the end of the day. So it was like all the things that I got to
Oh.
experience with my little ones in the community, and that keeps you in touch with everything
Yeah.
going on. So when I'm driving down, I'm like, oh, this is where the crosswalk needs to go on Blanco because there's someone waiting there and they're not able to cross the street. Or when I'm driving up San Pedro and looking like, okay, this is where the bus line's going to go, and these are the stops that's possible. So it's very just staying grounded in the
Yeah.
day-to-day happenings of the community is important.
Wow. So important. And I love the little Sunday that you had. I also was at Chris Madrid's yesterday for lunch.
Oh,
And now
that's
they're open
funny.
for on Sundays, which they hadn't been before. And the line was out the door. I'm like,
You
whoa, this is incredible.
got to go in between lunch and dinner is the best time.
Yeah. Okay. Now I know. But yeah, it was cool to see. And it is such a, I love their like community table. And anyway,
Yes.
they've done a really good job. So
Such a staple. Such a
yeah.
staple.
Well, that's awesome. And I can see just like living and breathing in the community. Like, yes, it's like the little things like crosswalks and stop signs and like experiencing yourself. There's no better lesson than actual experience. So, which we always tell kids, like, you
100%.
gotta learn this. And then if you're, but if you're
Yeah,
just
there
out
was
there away from it, it's hard to to really understand the importance.
Exactly. There was a stop sign on Euclid and Myrtle, right? Like in Tobin Hill, that folks had been fighting for a while. And we're getting some pushback based on like regulations that Public Works has for putting stop signs. When I was block walking, I had like several people be like, we really need that stop sign. We really need a stop sign. And then I was driving through it and I saw what they meant of like, if you're a family that's trying to walk down towards the Pearl from Tobin Hill and you're going on Euclid or you're walking on Myrtle, that intersection is just like treacherous. So I'm like, this way we need a stop sign. So yeah.
We got a new stop sign at Mistletoe in Maine.
Yeah.
Sawyer was riding his bike and I was pushing the stroller. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad we have this new stop sign. Feels
and
so
it's
much
also
better.
Why we need like bike lanes. So like I've been trying to bike more and notice what the paths are and make sure that we have that safety too, because families want to do that more too. So anyway.
Yeah.
It's so crazy because when you like go about life, like stop signs and stop lights and stuff, it's just, you know how like when you, once you're in something, it's kind of like, it's just there, you know, like it's just you, it's an expectation, right? And it's like, but then when you really think about like stripping those things away, if everyone just decided not to listen to stop signs, like the world literally be in chaos and we'd have like wrecks at every corner. Anyway, I think about that a lot of like how,
Take for granted.
We take it for granted.
Systems
Anyway, the
and
little works.
structures.
Yeah.
And I also now feel like anytime I go anywhere, when I'm like, I see all the things for infrastructure now, because you guys know that's one of my priorities. So I'm like, oh, what do their streetlights look like? Oh, they have like this flashing sign for a specific light for bikes and for buses. And like, I'm always looking at all the things now, like my worldview has completely changed.
You can't not look at those things.
That's awesome.
For
but that's
sure.
also connectability. I mean, I think that's so huge, like infrastructure, connectability. It's all, anyway, that's great for our city.
It is.
So that concludes kind of like our formal, but we do have five, well, actually there's more than five, but they're rapid fire questions to kind of conclude. So it's kind of a either or thing. So just to get to know you a little bit better. Okay. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Sneakers or heels?
Oof. Sneakers.
Nice. Favorite meeting spot outside of the office?
Okay, so there's this place called Rerooted at Hemisphere, and it is an urban winery, and they do wine off the tap, and it's literally my second office.
Oh, nice.
That's
Now I know where to
awesome.
find you.
Yes, for sure.
Everyone that listens is going to find you.
Yeah.
I love that spot.
Okay, Zoom, Google Meets, or WebEx?
Zoom.
I agree. Hence why we're on it. Okay. So what is your, this is kind of hard, but what is your favorite nonprofit event of the year?
Oh goodness. That is so tough. That is really tough. And I am all of the nonprofits. I love you all. I love you all. I'm gonna like, I would have to say our back to school event, which is like brings together a lot of nonprofits. But as far as like fun event, Zooball is so fun.
It is a good one. Yeah.
Fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. And then this is the last one. Reading or watching? And what is it?
Ooh. Also really tough. I just got a new Kindle, so I've been like super excited. But I would probably say watching. I love like CIA, FBI investigation shows. Those are like my favorite. And I've been watching The Blind Spot right now, and it's on Netflix, and it is I love it. I love like investigation shows that are like solving crimes and puzzles and corruption and how you uncover all of that and the good guys winning. So, or the good girls winning, I should say.
Did you watch The Wire?
No, I haven't, but I've heard it needs to be on my list.
Yeah, you need to get talk about corruption, city politics. Oh yeah. You should watch The Wire. But otherwise you'd probably be my like mom is into all of this stuff. So I'm like, oh yeah, pick all up. Y'all should be friends. She's like every time you walk in, she's like watching some sort of new spy show.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us. We
of
really
course.
Appreciate it. And it's very clear. It radiates within you of how much you care about the community and how much you've invested in kind of what's going on. And it's also clear that you've taken like things outside of your city council work and applied it to the city, which is I think, what we need. And so I appreciate your leadership. And again, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all.
You suck.